This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You would have told me that Arkansas was going to go 0-2. I would have bet the house against it. I would have felt better about Arkansas winning it all than going 0-2. But unfortunately, that was the scenario as it played out, losing to Texas Tech yesterday 5-4 in their final game.
Yeah, I never really had a strong feeling like Arkansas, because everything's just got to fall your way.
Right.
And I wasn't real comfortable with the starting pitching and the relief pitching to get you all the way. But I never dreamed Arkansas would be out of here after Monday and be the first team to be eliminated.
Yeah.
That was not a scenario I'd really, really entertained. And here we are. And it feels kind of disappointing. It's hard to really reconcile that you're feeling a sense of disappointment and underachievement when you got to the College World Series.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of where I'm at this morning. You feel like you left something on the table. You didn't reach full potential. I don't know that Arkansas is the best baseball team in the country. Clearly they're not, based on the way they played in their two games at the College World Series, but they had the potential certainly to be one of the last three or four teams left and be one of the teams that were playing Friday or Saturday at the College World Series, and they come up well short of that.
Well, you at least felt like that going up against Florida State when that game happened, and you lost 1-0. It's like, oh, geez, how in the world? You don't even score a run against Florida State, and you have such a great performance by Isaiah Campbell. But that's one of those games where it's like, hey, you know, you just couldn't get the hits when you needed them. But going up against Texas Tech, where they're not pitching their ace now, and you know that your guys are always bounce back really well, or at least most of the time, when they have a performance like they did against Florida State, for them to come out and all the things that we talked about yesterday of saying, okay, what needs to happen in this game for Arkansas to win? What are going to be the key pieces? Who are the players that are going to have to step up? It was about Connor Noland and him being the starter. All right, how is Connor Noland going to start the game? Is he going to be able to come out and get you some quality innings? Well, he did. What about the hitting? What about some of the guys that need to step up that were in some funks? Casey Martin, Heston Kerstad, Christian Franklin. Well, they came out and they hit the ball. You got eight hits. You got four runs on them. And it was just like the things that we really focused on yesterday, those things were actually pretty good, or at least fine enough. But it was the other things that popped up, like the bullpen pitching that couldn't bring it, like getting those timely hits and being able to score with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
It just wasn't their day once again, and it's got to be frustrating, not only for, I'm sure, Razorback fans, but for Dave Van Horn and this team, knowing that's like, hey, you felt like you were better, taking nothing away against Florida State or Texas Tech, but you felt like you were a better team than both of those teams, but they got the best of you on that day, and now you're going home and they're moving on.
All right, let's talk about the ninth inning. Arkansas was the visiting team, batted in the top of the ninth. It was their final chance. They had men on first and second with nobody out, and obviously failed to get somebody home to tie the ball game at least. Arkansas didn't attempt to lay down a bunt. John, what was your assessment of how the ninth inning played out for Arkansas?
Well, when I'm sitting there in the press box for this, and when I'm sitting next to some Arkansas media members, and when I see that they have runners at first and second, and they have no outs, I'm like, okay, I can't imagine a better scenario that you would like to be in the top of the ninth inning than to have this right here. Arkansas was not really in that situation all game long. Most of the time where they got runners in scoring position, it was when they had a two outs in the game. But this is right here. I was like, okay. They've been able to go back and forth, too. It wasn't like they were going on a long stretch of not scoring. They had just scored a run in the eighth inning. So it wasn't like, you know, you just didn't feel comfortable about it. You were like, okay, you surely you can get a run out of this. And when they went three straight outs, I started thinking back. And I'm like, okay, runs to first and second, no outs. And you don't even try to bunt once? Don't try to squeeze bunt? Don't try to play a little small ball? Hindsight's always 20/20. I get it. Anytime something doesn't work out, you always will go back and question it, because let's be honest, if they go up there and they get a hit, no one's questioning anything or talking about if they should have squeezed bunt or not. But it certainly seemed like in that situation, knowing what was on the line, knowing that it's win or go home, you got to extend this game. I felt like advancing those runners and maybe being able to get a sacrifice fly situation just would have been the most ideal thing in that particular situation. I know I'm not trying to question Dave Van Horn, because again, he's forgotten more
allowed?
About baseball. Yeah, exactly.
Hang on, is that even allowed to question Dave Van Horn? I mean, he's like the closest thing to God when we got coaches around. I mean, no one questions Saban in Alabama. That's the closest thing we've got, right?
Well yeah.
Are we even allowed to do that? Some of his question, his strategy decisions?
I'll let you know if some men with suits walk in and take me away. I'll let you know if that ends up happening. Because I know I'm the same way. It's like I don't want to question Dave Van Horn. Again, the guy's forgotten more baseball than I know. I understand that. But it is. We watch the games. We observe the games. And we have reactions to the games. And we weren't the only ones, at least I wasn't the only one, I know for sure, that had the reaction after a situation like that. It's like, how do you not at least try it? Because you knew the awareness of the situation of the game and where you were at and how you knew that this was a win or go home. It just seemed like if you were ever going to bunt, which we know Dave Van Horn's bunted this year. It's not like he's completely against it. We've seen it happen this season. If you were ever going to bunt, I feel like that would have been the ideal situation to do so, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. They ended up losing.
Yeah. I mean, and that inning started out exactly the way you want it. Nesbitt gets hit by the pitch. Fletcher gets on base, like you said, first and second. And then you get the guys up that you kind of feel like can produce for you at that point. So is the right part of the lineup. Everything was kind of set up, and it was kind of deja vu, so to speak, from some games where it hadn't went Arkansas's way. You hit a guy that's leading off the inning with a pitch in a critical situation. Generally, that team's going to score,
yeah.
And it just didn't work out. So, you know, you hit Nesbitt, your eight-hole hitter, you get your nine-hole guy on base. This is set up. Now you're at the top of the order. I mean, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what surprised me is Dave Van Horn is known for playing small ball. That's his M.O., particularly mm-hmm. in that situation. That's what surprised me is that's a decision he's made a million times over to do when you're in that spot and just didn't call for it there.
So you're saying that you would have bunted? It's just if it was you would have bunted.
I just know. Listen, I just know that's what Dave Van Horn's done in the past.
Right.
In a lot of situations.
Yeah. I see. That's my thing too. Is it's not like he's never done it. He's done it many times, and a lot of times it's worked out. And to be able to, if you could get in a situation, Tommy, where in the bottom of the ninth, you have runners at second and third with only one out, I mean, that's even a better situation.
Franklin
than having,
on the go-ahead run on first is Franklin,
yeah.
Who's got some wheels. So.
Yeah, and then and like you mentioned, the top of the order, I mean, that's the dream you want to have in the ninth inning.
Up.
Yeah, and so when you go three straight outs the way they did and it being in that situation, it just once again adds to the level of disappointment you have as a Razorback fan, knowing that, man, you're going 0-2. 0-2 in the College World Series. You're going home early. You're the first team eliminated. I mean, nobody wants to be eliminated from the College World Series, but especially a team like Arkansas that had high aspirations for coming back here after last year, hoping to get some redemption, didn't even get a chance to advance once in the College World Series.
If you weren't watching, I mean, we were, but for those listening out there, Ezell popped an infield fly, I mean, right up to the pitcher's mound.
Yeah.
Goes down as a pop fly to second, but it's an infield fly rule. Let's see, then Casey Martin struck out. It was his third strikeout of the day, and then a fly ball to end the game.
From Goodhart.
Yeah.
But he addressed that in the post-game press conference, and he thought his decision to let them hit was based on the fact that I mixed them up because they look alike. Trevor Ezell has been hitting tremendously all year long, and while in that game he wasn't great, he thought he could bang one through a gap and get possibly a scoring position. With Casey Martin, he was actually having a really good game. So you trust him to make a play. He ends up striking it just, what was it, a curveball low and into the dirt to the left, and then Goodhart pops out, who was hitting like 350 or 340 plus by all said and done. So he addressed that in the post comments. You can disagree with it, but that's just what he said.
We'll hear from Dave Van Horn. Let's see, we got some Casey Martin up here. So we got some sound from yesterday's post game that we'll get to talk about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm just surprised because Dave has made that decision to lay down the bunt so many times. But you know, It is what it is.
Because he,
that's right.
Because he tried with Franklin. If you remember, he initially, they were going to let him bunt. And then he hit that little blooper into right that was in between.
Well, they brought the second baseman up and he hit it right over his head.
And he's just like, swing away. And he hit that little gap shot in between the right fielder and second baseman, and it was one of the weirdest baseball hits I've ever seen.
Because it just kind of slapped at it and went right over the infield dirt and right out into out in the right field.
So I wonder how much that played in his decision, the fact that Franklin got a hit right before that he was initially going to bunt and then decided to just let him hit.
I think as much as anything, and we'll hear from Dave on this, is you had the top of your order and you had guys that you thought were hitting pretty good and you felt could hit for some power right then or get something, maybe score the go-ahead run, not just manufacture the tying run. Let's get the go-ahead run and try to win this game.
I mean, because Zazzell was hitting 310-plus, Goodhart was hitting 340-plus, and Casey hit a triple and, a double in the game yesterday?
A double and a triple, and struck out three times.
So it's hard. I'd be hard-pressed as a head coach to just say, oh, you guys just bunt. Let's see. Based on the fact that they've been just coming through all year long, and Casey not so much as of late, but the fact that he was playing good that game would lead me to believe that you might as well trust him in that situation.
Well, my thing with Ezell, though, is that I understand that he's had some good hitting, but he was one for four going into that last at-bat, and you had Casey Martin. To me, coming up next, you'd rather be in a situation where you have runners at second and third with Casey Martin coming up with one out. Because, again, worst-case scenario, or at least what you would be hopeful for, is that at least gets a sacrifice fly. And, knowing on who's on base and what you're doing. But, that's a discussion that I know a lot of Razorback fans are having, and they had it last night, and I'm sure they're going to want to continue to have that discussion, as well as get into some other things and reacting to the Arkansas Razorback baseball season coming to an end yesterday, losing to Texas Tech in the College World Series 5-4. But we're going to recap it all. We're going to react to it all. And, of course, we want your phone calls. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. Broadcasting live from the Leavenworth Cafe here in Omaha, Nebraska, the College World Series. So if you're listening on our stream at hitthatline.com, be sure to come by and get you some great breakfast and some great food and a great little place over here. We're just a few miles away from TD Ameritrade Park, so be sure to stop by.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown Hogs! Holy Hog!
Yesterday, during the post-game press conferences, not only was Dave Van Horn able to meet with the media, but Casey Martin, Heston Kerstedt met with the media as well. And they had some interesting comments and something I want to dive into about the team that they have coming back and what the future of Razorback baseball is going to look like. Take a listen.
I thought we had an outstanding year being counted out from the beginning with everybody who lost. We're bringing some new guys. Trevor Ezell did more than outstanding for us. He's a competitor. Man, without bringing guys in like that, true leaders for this team, could say such a young team we have, that it shows these younger guys, what it takes to get here. And, so they've experienced it now. They know what it takes. And we need to build off that. And I think we'll be good if we can build off that.
No, we had a spectacular year getting back here for the second year in a row. But it shows a lot about the incoming guys that came in and replaced a lot of the starters and experience we had from last season. And, it took everyone on our whole roster to get us here. And, it was just great to be back. And we'll look back on the season and realize how good we were for the whole season, how good of an experience we had. But for now, it's obviously a little bitter once the season's over.
I know a lot of Razorback fans are disappointed with the way the season ended, but Tommy, there is no reason why I don't believe Arkansas won't be back here next year, knowing who's coming back, knowing the type of talent that they have coming in, and knowing the experience that a lot of these guys have had, where there's a few of these players, especially the sophomores on this team, have had back-to-back years of College World Series experience. It's disappointing this year to go 0-2, and I understand that. But you're looking at a scenario, depending on how the pitching looks and if they can get an ace nailed down for next season, to where this team could easily be back next year and maybe even in some ways be an even better team next year, considering the amount of upperclassmen and talented group that they're going to have returning next year.
I mean, you look at it, what, Casey Opitz, Goodhart, Martin, Kerstad, Nesbitt, Franklin are all back, right? So that leaves you needing, what, a first baseman, a center fielder. And a second baseman.
Which Franklin, apparently, Phil told me he's going to move to center field.
Right. So, I mean, you got what's... And I think it's very important that you got your catcher back when you got two of your three weekend starters back. So just kind of rolling through, you got six positions. I'm just rolling through this in my mind. You got six of your position players back and two of your three weekend starters back. So, I mean, it's a pretty good foundation to build a pretty darn good team, plus a pretty solid recruiting class coming in.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you always know that Arkansas under Dave Van Horn is going to be a competitive team. That's just the way the monster that's been built by Dave Van Horn. But it's like, when you think back to the expectations people had going into this season, them making it to the College World Series exceeded those expectations. And they even talked about it in the press conference, too, how a lot of people counted them out before the year started. But, you know, they really got it going and got it together. And there's no reason why this team can't do it again next year, because... Listen, I know that they're losing a few pieces, but they lost a few pieces last year.
And lost more pieces last year.
Yeah. I mean, and lost their ace pitcher. I mean, their main guy. I know they're going to lose him again this year. But, you know, they lost some really key pieces, and they made it back. Now, 0-2 is not ideal for anybody. I understand that, and especially compared to last year. But you were the 5 national seed. You won the SEC West this year. I mean, it wasn't like you just got hot and you at the right time in postseason play. You earned everything that you got. And with the amount of guys that are returning, like you named off and mentioned, and some of those guys that are going to be juniors or third-year guys, which in most cases are going to be their standout year, especially if they went through a sophomore slump or anything like that. I mean, there's no reason why, as a Razorback fan, not only can you be excited about this upcoming season once again, but even in the years to come, considering the type of recruiting classes that Dave Van Horn is putting together year in and year out, I mean, this is truly, and maybe I'm overstepping my bounds here, but this is truly the prime of Razorback baseball right now. Because you got to win the games. You got to go out next year and you got to get back. I understand that. But just looking at it on paper of what they're doing and what they're building and what they're going to be, I mean, it doesn't get much better than this. I can't imagine having a better roster or a better setup for years to come than what the Arkansas Razorbacks do right now.
I mean, that 2015 team seems like a lifetime ago at this point.
Yeah.
But if you stop and think about it, from 2015 to now, you've been in, what, 3 of the last 5 College World Series back-to-back?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it looks like Arkansas is going to have a chance to be in several more based on the talent coming in. So, I mean, we've talked about, is this the golden age, the golden era? I think ultimately you've got to win the national title to really – crown that achievement. But I can tell you, whenever Dave Van Horn decides he's no longer going to coach at Arkansas, it'll go back. Arkansas won't quit going to College World Series, but it won't be on this frequency.
Mm-mm.
It won't be 3 out of 5 years. It'll be more like what Norm did. Twice a decade, every 5 or 6 years, maybe even go, you know, what, 79 and 86, and then most of the 90s, or all the 90s, didn't make an appearance in the College World Series. You know, so, I mean, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, but you're really in a great time here. And I think Arkansas has got a lot more frequency of going to the College World Series ahead of them, just based on the talent coming back and the talent coming into the program.
Yeah, number 2 recruiting class, according to Perfect Game for 2020. Dave said it could be the best he's ever had.
So he'll have to fight the draft on that deal, though.
Yeah, and the good thing about that is this past class, there was a player drafted, I believe, in the top 10, which hadn't happened in so many years. So you hope... It's probably not going to be that way, but you hope that next class, there's not a lot of hot people drafted, because as you said, they would be more likely to forgo college and go to the draft.
But maybe being committed to Arkansas is a deterrent for some of these Major League Baseball teams to draft them high. Maybe they feel like they'd be wasting a draft pick on some of these guys, because if they're giving strong indications they're coming to Arkansas, they're going to play for Dave Van Horn, they're going to be a Razorback, and they're not probably going to waste an upper-round pick on a guy that probably isn't going to fulfill that commitment.
So. And you think about with Isaiah Campbell, the fact that, and Clay confirmed this for me, he was drafted out of high school, then last year drafted in the 24th round, and then goes 76 overall. So Dave has, and he's not the only one, Dave has so many examples that he can show these incoming kids, hey, yes, you can get drafted straight out of high school, but if you come play for me, here's how much more money you can make, and that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I heard Ruskin say this yesterday afternoon, and it's right. When's the last time a starting pitcher came back and got worse in this system with these coaches? I mean, you can count on Wicklander and Connor Nolan coming back and getting better, right? The only way Connor Nolan's not going to get it better is somehow he gets a football injury. Something occurs with a shoulder or something happens on the football field. And maybe he needs to start really seriously thinking about just being a baseball player only at the University of Arkansas. Maybe that's a real conversation that he's got to have in the offseason, what little bit of offseason he's going to have. But, I mean, you stop and think about it. When has a starting pitcher come back and regressed from previous year over year?
Was it Killian? But he was injured, right? Who's a freshman All-American that got injured and kind of deterred? I might have been Killian. Maybe it was McKinney. But one of those guys, it wasn't because he came back. It was just because injuries plagued him. But, no, you're right. I mean, Blaine Knight's...
I'm just saying development of these guys at Arkansas and with Dave Van Horn, even when they've had changes in pitching coaches, what, they're on their third pitching coach in the last 5 years or whatever, whenever Jorn left.
Jorn Johnson... Yeah. Bob's,
So, I mean, and it hadn't slowed him down a bit?
No, it hasn't. And I think that you can count on these guys developing and getting better and continuing to get better. Because, you know, I think that once you figure out who the ace is going to be, whether it ends up being Wicklander or maybe it's Connor Nolan, maybe he makes that decision. I'm not saying that, you know, he's leaning one way or the other, but maybe he makes a decision to just focus on baseball and not worry about football. Then that may be something that helps him in his development as well. But that's the crazy thing about it is not only are you set up for success, but even in, you know, you mentioned, Tommy, the previous, was it three out of the last five and making it to the College World Series. Mm-hmm. It's, for a stat for you, it's not even like you haven't won the championship, but it's not like you've been outclassed either. Because look, check this stat out. Arkansas has lost seven of their last eight College World Series games by two runs or less. Seven of their last eight losses were by two runs or less. So it's not even like you're getting outclassed in the College World Series. You're there. Yeah. You're competing in it. It's just you got to take that next step forward. And since it looks like the talent is still going to be there and the development and the returning guys are still going to be there, you're going to be that team, not only in this conference, but in the nation, that's going to be counted on, looked at as like, hey, Arkansas, well, they'll probably be there. They're going to be that team that's going to be there. And that's an awesome place to be in. It's just about a matter of, can you get the breaks? Can you have the things go your way? Can you make the plays when they matter the most to finally win that national championship? Because they're going to be there. Yeah. They just got to take that next step. Yeah.
And in fairness, you know, there's not a lot of blowouts in the College World Series anyway. Most of these games are decided by three runs or less. So, you know, you're not going to get hammered too bad. That stat's going to probably be there for a lot of teams that have frequently played in the College World Series. But what Arkansas wasn't this year was clutch. You know, and we saw that that's really what cost them yesterday. They couldn't get a clutch hit in a big moment. They stranded runners all year, and they really were a team that was built to build early leads in the first through fifth innings and then keep, you know, just hang on to them. Build leads and hang on. This was not a come-from-behind team by any way, shape, or form all year long, and I don't know why we would expect yesterday in the ninth for them to make a come-from-behind victory, because that really hadn't been their M.O. all year.
No, it hadn't been their M.O., but it was still like, you still felt like just the way the game was going, though, and how back and forth it was, you could at least extend the game.
Yeah.
I think that since you scored a run in the eighth inning, and again, the situation we talked about with having runners at first and second with no outs, like you just felt like at least you could get one run out of that inning and tie it up and extend the game. Now, not to say that Texas Tech wouldn't have come in the bottom of the ninth inning and won in a walk-off fashion. It could have very well happened, but, you know, that you at least wanted to just to be in that situation and to not have any runs scored in that setup where you have runners at first and second. And that's just going to be something that people are always going to look at and be reminded of and just say, man, if maybe you did that squeeze bunt as we talked about. Maybe that would have changed the thing, extended the game at least. But here you are, you're 0-2, you're out of the College World Series, and you're looking forward to next season, which should be a great one. So at least you have that. It's not like this was your one shot, your 1 year to do it. You'll have more opportunities and more chances, especially when you have Dave Van Horn as the head coach. But that's the situation you find yourselves in today.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Tommy, I think that now the question becomes, and now that it's over, now that you saw what the season was in the regular season and in postseason and looking at the entire finished product, how do you feel about the way it ended? Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel like you exceeded the expectations and you're really happy with what the outcome was, even though you didn't get anything in the College World Series. Do you feel like you left so much on the table that it leads to a little bit of disappointment? It's kind of a conflicting thing
now. It is. Because I think you exceeded preseason expectations by making the College World Series, but I don't think this team reached its full potential. Anybody here think they played the best baseball they could play while they were in Omaha? Of course not.
I don't.
Of course they didn't. Scored 4 runs in 2 games, got shut out in the first. They didn't play their best baseball. So they didn't reach their full potential because they didn't play their best or anywhere close to what I think is their best in the 2 games they had there with Florida State and Texas Tech. So overachieved based on what I think even Dave Van Horn thought this team might pull off this year, what a lot of the national writers and the Kendall Rogers and the Aaron Fitz and the people that really follow college baseball on a national level, on a national scale, probably didn't have Arkansas as one of the last eight teams standing. That's a hard science to figure out because you'd have never had Michigan or maybe even Florida State in there either.
Yeah.
And Arkansas would have been a lot closer to it. So overachieved in that regard, but I don't think they reached their full potential with the way they played in Omaha.
So you wouldn't use the term satisfying.
No, because I don't think you're satisfied at all, because this is a team that won 46 games, 20 of those in regular season SEC play. I guess 21 games against SEC opponents, counting the SEC tournament.
Second only to, I believe, the 99 team.
I mean, this was a darn good baseball team that Arkansas had this year in a league that there's no question. Nobody's going to question how good the Southeastern Conference was this year. Crying out loud, they had 4 of the 8 teams in Omaha. Had 5 teams from the Western Division in the Super Regionals. I mean, if the NCAA wouldn't rig the bracket to keep SEC teams out by making them play each other, you may have 6 or 7 teams in there.
Yeah. That's how good it was.
You know, in the end, I think Arkansas is a good team, but that's baseball.
Yeah.
Were they better than last year's team? Tough to tell. Probably didn't have the starting pitching like last year's team had with Blaine Knight and a surging Isaiah Campbell at the end of the year, and really probably a more complete staff. But in the end, Arkansas doesn't show up at the plate and doesn't get the clutch hits when they needed the timely hit in Omaha. That's really what it boils down to for me.
Yeah, I can't say that I am satisfied, because it's also, if you put it in this perspective too, you remember that 2015 Arkansas baseball team with Andrew Benintendi that went to the College World Series? Everyone was like, my goodness, that the fact that they made it there with the lack of talent surrounding Andrew Benintendi, the fact that they were in that position was incredible. Well, that team in the College World Series in 2015 that had no business being there had the same outcome in the College World Series that this year's team did. And I think that's why it makes it really disappointing, at least for me, because in previous years under Dave Van Horn, where you've made it to the College World Series, it's always kind of been like, all right, in 2004, for instance, it was, hey, well, you got there, and boy, golly gee, you were just happy you were there. And then in 2009, when you got there, you caused some noise. You made some noise a little bit. And that was kind of like your next step when you had that big home run there by Brett Eibner to tie it up against Virginia. You felt like that was such a great moment, and you took the next step. Then in 2012, we all remember how close you were if it wasn't for old Perry Costello.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for Perry Costello, you know, you would have been in the finals
there. South Carolina game.
Yeah, and Tanner English. We all remember that. But then you still felt like, oh, well, if it wasn't for Perry Costello screwing us over, we would have been right there and we should have taken that next step. And then in 2015, we all know that was kind of the out of the ordinary. But then last year, it just kept feeling like you took steps. You took steps, and you, when you got to the expectations where you were going to make it to the College World Series, you kept exceeding that expectation and getting closer and closer and closer. And so this year, for you to go 0-2, the same thing you did in 04, the same thing you did in 15, those two teams that were just happy to be there, to me, that's what makes it really disappointing, is because as a program, you're not just happy to be at the College World Series. You want to expect to go in and cause some noise. Maybe not win it all, because I think that's a tough expectation for anybody to put on a team, but to make some noise. And you didn't make any noise this year, similar to what those other teams did that just were happy to be there.
And it would be a little easier for me to live with. I guess a little easier outcome to swallow if LSU beaten Florida State and you lost to LSU and then to Texas Tech. You know, two national seeds, and I'm not taking anything away from Florida State, because they're playing good baseball right now, and they're playing inspired by their their head coach, Mike Martin. If you haven't heard, he's retiring.
Big news.
If you haven't heard the news yet by watching the broadcast. So they're playing their best baseball right now, and that's what you need to do. Arkansas didn't play their best baseball right now, but it'd be a little easier to sack the bats knowing, well, you know, we got beat by a pretty good LSU team and a pretty good Texas Tech team. But, you know, Arkansas has the talent to beat both of the teams they lost to. They just didn't have it on the days they played them. They didn't have it on Saturday and Monday. Just didn't have it.
Yeah.
Didn't have a timely hit. And it just really boiled down to timely hits. Saturday, left guys at third, stranded six runners in the game. Yesterday, we've talked about that ninth inning. Two runners on, nobody out, first and second, nobody out. Can't even threaten.
I mean, you lost 1-0. Like, I mean, I know that was a couple of games ago or 2 days ago, but you lost 1-0. And it's like, you know, it's almost like you'd rather get blown out than lose 1-0. Mm-hmm. You'd almost like want it to be a convincing win for the other team if you're going to lose that way, because you did what you needed to do defensively. Isaiah Campbell was phenomenal, and it's such a shame. Such a shame that his great career and his great season for Isaiah Campbell and all the things that he's done this year and the way that he played in postseason play, not just in the College World Series, but in the Supers and in the Regional, for his final game as a Razorback to pitch, he goes out and pitches a gem, and they lose 1-0. That's also another shame of it all. So I don't know how anybody can feel satisfied with the ending of the Razorback baseball season. I think people can be happy in how the season went in general, because it was fun. There were a lot of fun moments. And you getting back to the College World Series back-to-back years for the first time in program history is something that you can hold your hat to. And you know that you're one of the perennial programs in the country. Of course, you can be happy about that. But it doesn't mean you have to be satisfied going 0-2.
You use the phrase of perennial programs in the country. Has Arkansas established itself as one of the blue bloods? It doesn't have the national title, but three World Series in 5 years. One of the best coaches. I mean, anyone will tell you Dave Van Horn's one of the best coaches in college baseball.
Yeah.
Is Arkansas considered by people outside of this state to be amongst the five best baseball programs in America? Is that real, or is that just something we're hoping for?
So, you know, that's interesting, because in Arkansas, I think a lot of Razorback fans would say yes. And even if you ask some of the experts, and I think that they would say yes. But from college baseball fans in general outside the state, I don't know. Because, Tom, you mentioned a lot of the teams that have done what Arkansas has done, but even more so, like Louisville, for instance. They've been in the College World Series mm-hmm. a lot. Florida State has been in the College World Series a lot. TCU, a team like that, has made it to the College World Series pretty frequently. I mean, there are a lot of other teams that have done things similar to what Arkansas has done, and even at a higher frequency even. So,
but Arkansas's done it playing in the SEC.
Yeah, well, which I understand, too. But
I think it makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, but even teams like Florida and like LSU and like South Carolina, you know, there are other teams even in the SEC that have made it a few times too. Vanderbilt's another team, obviously, mm-hmm. That's done really well. So I don't know. I don't know if I can sit here and say confidently that they'd be top five, but I think that they're a top 10 program, no doubt.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
top five would be tough.
I'm with you, because I think it's even hard to say you're one of the three best in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, because you mentioned LSU, Florida. I mean, you mentioned some Vanderbilt, some teams that have obviously won national championships and seem to always be in the mix. I know Florida had an off year. This was an outlier this year for Florida, but LSU kind of rallied late. There's some fans down there not happy with Mannary at all in the way they performed down the stretch. But they really kind of surged late, got a national seed, and obviously lost to a very hot Florida State team in the Super Regional. But it wouldn't even be hard to be 100% sure that Arkansas is one of the best three programs.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst the top three in the SEC. Now, you can say, well, they've surpassed LSU. Certainly did this year. Certainly better than Florida this year. But we're not talking about just 1 year.
Yeah.
You
got
to look it over a little broader range. I don't know. Such a tough league, it's hard to tell. But I think Arkansas is definitely amongst the 10 best teams in the country. 10 best mm-hmm. programs in the country, I should say. I think you got one of the best five coaches in the country. But I think you got some more work to do to be really amongst the elite of the elite.
Yeah,
at Arkansas. And I think you got to get back to the College World Series and make some more noise than going 0-2. You kind of whimpered out this year, and I think that hurts your resume.
Yeah, I was about to say that if they do where they go back to the College World Series, say, next year, but then miss that year, then come back and say something like 5 of the last 8 years of making a College World Series, then I think the really conversation starts getting there and getting going. But
you got to win one at some point.
Yeah, you got to win one at some point. And here's another thing, too, and I think that this is one of the best ways you can always figure out just where your program's at. Is there a coach in college baseball that you would trade Dave Van Horn for right now, straight up?
No. Listen, we're biased about that, but even if you take your Razorback hat and glasses off,
yeah,
who would you rather have? Because there's no one that's a better fit for Arkansas.
That's right.
He played under Norm. He gets Arkansas. This is a state he loves. Program he's built. You know, I he had a great foundation handed to him. But I mean, as far as fit for Arkansas, there's no one you'd rather have than Dave Van Horn at the helm.
And that's kind of what we overlook sometimes as Arkansas people that cover the sport on a daily basis, is not only do you have to be a good coach, but you have to be the right fit for this fan base in this state. Because there's been good coaches that have come through, particularly in football, that were good coaches but weren't a good fit here.
You know, look at Petrino. I mean, he was an excellent football mind.
Not a good fit.
Not a good fit because of his management style.
Yeah, you can't overlook that part of the Arkansas side of things.
Yeah, because it's such a rarity that you find kind of like all the pieces coming together. Because Arkansas fans, they have this complex, at least some of them do, about having an Arkansas guy. They want an Arkansas guy. I mean, there were people out there when Arkansas was looking for a basketball coach, they want to hire Corliss Williamson. I mean, it's like, okay, pump the brakes a little bit. Actually get somebody that's qualified. But that's how their mentality is. They love to have Arkansas guys who get it at the helm. And if they can get it with a coach that works out, great. But Dave Van Horn checks all the boxes off for Razorback fans. And then as soon as he gets that national championship, which I think we all believe he will eventually, then he'll really be elevated into an echelon that's, I mean, as high as the Frank Broyles and the Nolan Richardsons and the John McDonald. Some people may even feel he's already there, but that would really just catapult him in the Razorback fandom and the things that he's been able to do. But there's no doubt that I don't think any Razorback fan would trade Dave Van Horn for any other coach in college baseball right now. That is for sure.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
With the ending of baseball, it kind of puts a finale on the 2018-2019 academic year for Razorback athletics, where you went through the football, basketball, baseball season, as well as the other sports too. And now your focus turns to the 2019 and 2020 academic year and how the athletics are going to be looked at, especially in the Big Three. And it's funny, Tom, because I was thinking about this last night when I was just kind of doing some research and looking at what we're going to do on the show today. And when I started forecasting the three big sports with football, basketball, and baseball and going into next season, I'm not saying it will happen, but there is a really good chance that each one of those sports will be significantly better than what they were this past year. Now, before everyone starts hopping on and starts yelling at me, let me put it in perspective. Football, obviously, because you went 2-10 last year. Doesn't take much to improve. Yeah. Gotcha. Doesn't take much to improve from going 2-10. But we feel, and most people feel like, they will improve. Now, is it by 2 wins? Is it by 3, 4, 5? Who knows? But you feel like it's going to improve. Basketball, even though you went to the NIT this past season, you lost Daniel Gafford and all that. A lot of people have faith in Eric Musselman. A lot of people feel like he'll re-energize the program. And with some of the transfers that are coming in and the guys that are maneuvering around, you feel like, because basketball is the easiest and quickest that you can do a turnaround with, in the foundation and some of the players that are coming back, you feel like basketball could maybe take that next step forward and maybe even be an NCAA tournament team. We'll see what this roster looks like when it's all finalized, but it certainly has that feel to it. And, of course, in baseball, as we discussed a lot today on the show, baseball is going to have most of their key players returning. You got great recruits coming in. You feel like the pitching staff, especially these young guys like Connor Nolan and Patrick Wicklander, they're going to develop and get a year better and really be able to make some noise next year. And there's a case, which I know they went to the College World Series. There's only a few little spots you can go ahead and go up from there. But there's no doubt that the feeling is that this team can at least make it back and at least cause some noise in the College World Series. So if you're trying to look for some silver lining in Razorback athletics, which I know a lot of people like to, you know, give a hard time to, especially with the football program, there's a really good chance that things will be even better next year than what they were this year. But in some cases, it doesn't take that much.
I mean, if you want to compare it to previous year's win totals, baseball is going to have obviously the hardest time of improving on what they've done. Football should have the easiest time. But as far as meaningful improvement, baseball is probably the most likely to have meaningful improvement because, okay, football triples their win total. That sounds great, but you get six wins.
Yeah.
Well, what's that get you?
What's I mean, get you a bowl game.
Get you a bowl game, but is that a bowl game anyone's going to just be overjoyed to say, hey, we were part of the Birmingham Bowl or part of, I mean, you're going to go to one of the last bowl or two assignments of the SEC. So that's not significant.
Still progress, though.
If the basketball team makes the NCAA tournament but doesn't get to the Sweet 16, that's improvement. But, I mean, this baseball team probably has and stands the most chance of having the most significant improvement. Even though you made the College World Series this year, this is a team that I think a lot of people are already counting down the days till next February and the start of next baseball season because they know this is a program next year that can be as good or better and probably have a chance, depending on how some of these other teams around the country shake out, to win the West, maybe win the SEC, and once again go to Omaha. And, you know, we were talking earlier, you got the core of your team back. You're going to be looking for a corner outfielder if you move Christian Franklin to center field. You're going to need a left fielder perhaps. You're going to need a first and second baseman. Other than that, you're set. You got two of your three starters back. This is a team that next year could be just as good or perhaps better, as we feel, and could make a deeper run in the College World Series.
Well, and see, that's the thing, because it's all about perspective, right? You mentioned football, and yeah, I don't think anyone's just going to be pumping their chest out if they make it to the Advocare Bowl or in your, you know, I guess Shreveport's not going to be around anymore for the SEC connections, but you see what I'm saying?
You could triple your win total, and it really wouldn't mean much.
Yeah, but I still think that in perspective and relatively, people would be excited because it's progress, and it's progress, and it's a huge leap and bound. And they're like, okay, well, maybe Chad Morris really can get it going. Maybe he really can, once he gets more talent, more players in here, maybe he can really have Arkansas going to that next level. So
it would validate his hire.
Exactly, and it would excite people, at least in a small scale of it. And even in basketball, because I get what you're saying too, NCAA tournament, if you're out in the first round, that ain't going to pump everybody up. But using the perspective of, hey, in the first year of Eric Musselman taking over a team that went to the NIT that lost its best player by far, to be able to have more success than what that team had the previous year, that's pretty impressive, and that's worthy of note, and that would be exciting for Razorback fans because they're like, man, Eric Musselman in 1 year got to the tournament? You know, what will happen when he gets his guys in here and his talent too? So, again, it's about perspective too. And, Tommy, is there any doubt that if this team, because you're maybe at this point now, is this baseball team next year, if they don't make the College World Series, is it going to be a disappointment? I mean, are you at that point now?
I mean, it's such a long ways away. I'm trying to get over this. This past week's or this week's performance, this past weekend and yesterday's performance. But, yeah, I mean, when you put it on paper and you look at, you know, you got Casey Opitz back. You know, you got Goodhart back as your DH. You got Casey Martin back at short. You got Heston Kerstad back. Jacob Nesbitt back at third. Talking about Christian Franklin, as he moved to center, it looks like that's going to be a real possibility of what will happen next year. So, you know, we're talking – you know, two of your three. Yeah, I mean, on paper, that should happen. But a lot of things have to play out. But I think of all those things we laid out there, if this baseball team next year makes it back to Omaha and gets to the championship round, people will be more excited about that than making the NCAA tournament or making it to six wins in a bowl game in football. They'll still be excited about that more in baseball because it's more relevant. You're closer to a championship. And it just shows you the canyon that's between being elite, being great, and just being an average program right now, which is where basketball and football are. And football's below average. Let's just be honest. Football is below average right now. Well below average.
Well, let me ask you then, because you brought up how, you know, the excitement level and obviously going to the College World Series is always going to be more exciting than going to a 6-6 bowl game. So in football, just from that perspective, what would be the equivalent or what a realistic equivalent. Obviously, going to the national championship, going to the college football playoff would be something. But realistically, looking at this football team, where would be the threshold of people being as excited about football as they would be baseball going to the College World Series? Because I think you got to scale it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would it be if they won eight games?
That means okay. You won four in SEC play.
Okay.
That's what it'd take for me. I mean, I can't speak for everyone. For me, if you got to eight wins this year, you won half of your SEC games. And some of that would depend on who you won them against. But you assume if you could get to that, and I'm making some assumptions, you beat Auburn and Mississippi State at home.
Yeah.
You won a couple of road games. Probably Kentucky would be one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just.
Maybe Missouri.
Yeah. That would probably really ignite it. I don't think you'd have nearly as much trouble selling season tickets the following year.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's fair because that's kind of what I was thinking, too, is about the maybe seven wins and with a bowl win get to 8-5, something like that.
The gap between six wins and eight is huge. I don't think we realize how huge. I mean, because we're talking about winning all your non-conference and going from winning to winning two SEC games to four SEC games. We're talking about, particularly in this year, we're talking about winning two on the road. You know?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean,
or at least two, depending on how you want to classify A&M, two away from out. You know, you'd have to win two. That I guess you got Missouri down in Little Rock. I mean,
that's true.
Forget about all that, but you'd have to win all three of those and then one on the road somewhere.
Yeah, and I think that's a tall ask at this point at this juncture.
But I think that's what you talk about. What would it take to get people as excited about the future and the direction of football as they are about baseball? Eight wins for me this year. And I'm on board.
But if they went 7-6 with a bowl victory, would it still at least? I'm not saying it just gets you all rolling, but it'd almost justify the hiring of Chad Morris, justify the direction of the program, and I think it'll get a lot more people on board. It's like, all right, let's see what this guy can do. Let's see what happens when he gets more of his players in.
Well, what Dave Van Horn has done is basically made the College Football Playoff three of the last 5 years. He's made the Final Four three of the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this football program is so far away from it. You can't even see it from here. It's not even the same galaxy. It's in a whole different universe than what baseball's doing.
Yeah, but at the same token, though, Tommy, people, by and large, are not invested in and do not care as much about baseball as they do football. They don't pay attention to it as much.
The masses are, you're correct. But what we're asking here is, what's it going to take to get the masses as fired up and excited as those that are about baseball?
I think you also have to factor in the wins. It can't just be a 75 or 7-6, whatever. I mean, if he beats Texas A&M and LSU,
the opposite. I think you got to factor in the losses. How did you lose? Who did you lose to, and how close were those games? Yeah, you won seven games, but how'd you do in those losses? How'd you do in those five games there?
Well, I think
did you get blown out by 30, or were you right in those games?
But you'd rather beat the better teams than lose to the worst teams, right?
Well, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, if you won seven games, but the five you lost, you got beat by an average of 28 points, and they were all five conference games, you went, that'd still show how far you are away competing at an SEC level. So I think how you people say a loss is a loss. I don't buy that. I think how you lose matters. Mm-hmm.
What if two of those wins are LSU and A&M?
I mean, but because the thing is I don't see that as that'd be cool.
I don't either.
That'd be great.
But if Auburn beats you 21 in your own place,
Mississippi
State beats you 24 in your own place.
Yeah,
I think that's a trade-off fans would be willing to take to beat A&M and LSU and to get blown out at home by Mississippi State and Auburn.
But here's the thing, though.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, because I would look at it almost like from the time when Houston Nutt was head coach. Yeah, his final year, look at that. They beat number one LSU on the road. And they had some great wins in his time, but there were also head-scratching moments where, like, how did you lose to this team? I think it would excite people, and I think people would take it. Of course, they would take it. But it would go back to, okay, cool, you beat A&M, you beat LSU. So what the crap was going on against Ole Miss? What were you doing against Missouri? Like, if people would look at it that perspective. But if
Why couldn't you beat the teams that were not as good as A&M?
Exactly. Exactly. If you're good enough to beat those good teams, why couldn't you beat the average team? Exactly. So I think that, I think people would also take that perspective as well. But let's be honest. They'll take it any way it'll come. Right. If they can get the 6 wins, they'll take 6 wins right now, regardless of who the opponents are. But I agree with you too, Tommy. It's also about how you lose those games, because if you're getting smoked in all the other ones, people will be happy with the progress, but they'll still just show how far away you are from being in that upper echelon as well.
I've always, but not all losses are created equal. or 21 or 31, it does matter. It absolutely matters.
Yeah, what was the difference with Alabama in 2013 when you lost 52-0 and Alabama in 2014 when you only lost 14-13? Mm-hmm. Was there a difference in those feels of those games?
Yeah.
Pretty sure there were, yeah. But you still lost.
I'm not talking about moral victories. I'm just talking about
how
close are you to competing? You know?
Yes, exactly. Because right now, you're about as far away from competing in the conference as humanly possible. But that can all change in the upcoming football season. I know a lot of people are still excited to see where this football team can go in the coming years. We're going to take a commercial break, broadcasting live here from the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, live from the Leavenworth Cafe here in Omaha. So if you're listening on hitthatline.com on our live stream, if you're in the area, you got to get you some breakfast before you head the road home back to Arkansas, come on by Leavenworth, 2419 Leavenworth Street here in Omaha. I got a little gift for you, Razorback fans, a little consolation prize for you. It may not be the same thing as a College World Series victory, but you know what? It'll still be something great. So come on by and see me at the Leavenworth Cafe.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.